Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Dr. Toni Riley. She is a soul life coach, an author, and one of Australia's most sought-after past life regression specialists. Her soul life coaching program represents the next step in the evolution in past life regression, and her goal is to ultimately change the face of psychology. Toni, welcome to the program.
Morning, Johnny. Thank you for having me.
It is morning where you are, isn't it? I keep forgetting that. I'm in Florida and you're in Australia.
Okay. The opposite. Yeah.
Hence the Sunday night recording. Excellent. Okay, cool. So you're a hypnotherapist and a coach. How did you seg into past lives and reincarnation?
My life was very ordinary and mainstream up until about my mid-30s. And at that stage, I became intrigued about intuition, my own intuition. It was the first time I realized that I had it or it was a thing for me. And in the process of trying to develop that, I started to meditate. And I didn't know that normal people meditated. I thought monks meditated. So in meditation, I realized I had all of these clair senses and they worked and they were brilliant. The lady who was teaching me to meditate told me to read Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss. When I read that book, I read it in almost one go. And I thought to myself, this is what I'm here to do. It was a revelation. I hadn't had anything to do with past lives before reading that book. From there, it was a bit of a process to quickly get it happening and do something with it.
That book was or is a life changer, a game changer for many people. And his signature has been felt throughout that industry and on this podcast. There's been several people that were trained by Brian Weiss. And I read the book and it was pretty incredible, to say the least.
Amazing.
So that makes sense. What is a soul life coach?
A soul life coach, they're more a therapist, actually. It's someone who's trained to go deeper than the story that we tell as people, because we usually want coaching because we need some help or we've got a problem. So what we do as a soul life coach is go beyond the story and help that person understand themselves and why they feel the way that they do. We go to an emotional level. And if that's really for this day stuff, but if there are issues that can help boost people's esteem or confidence or help them relieve themselves of a fear or a phobia, then we can delve into the past lives or even go beyond to help them discover their purpose. So that's really the difference. We consider the soul.
I know that you also wrote a book called Awake the Purpose of Life and Why You Are Here, but I think you just hinted going beyond the past life. Would that be the life between life space?
And even beyond that.
I just opened up a Pandora's box, I know.
You did. Even beyond that.
Really?
If I would just dumb it down, the between life space is where there's information about either the past lives you're leading or the current life that you're leading. So it's almost like a bit of a space where humans or people can go and interact and get some relief messages, some guidance for themselves. Whereas there's even beyond that where it's really, dare I say, nothing, the most beautiful nothing, where we're all one. And this is this place where people are always talking about, oh, we're all one. But it's there, you can feel it and can visit there. They don't let you stay there long. It'll usually be, you've got to go back now. So, yeah, different spaces to go and get answers from.
What I've been told by many practitioners like yourself is that it is a place where soul contracts take place, soul family members are discovered. Oh, and one of my favorites, the life review, which it really almost makes my brain hurt to think about these things. But almost seems too good to be true. Is that me or have you heard that before?
I think it does seem too good to be true. It's almost something that you must experience to appreciate that it's true. It feels true when you do this, when you go there, when you visit there. It can be a hard concept to fathom, but all of the things, thinking for a start, is a human thing. It only happens here in this body. So once we're relieved of the body and we're in soul energy or we're visiting because we're in between lives or beyond, then we don't have the brain or the thoughts to deal with. We don't have hierarchy. We don't have time. Nothing of our human existence. And most of all, we don't have emotion. That's why it's just this amazing feeling there. Yeah.
That's incredible. Now, in this space, lots of questions that usually come up when people start talking about past life regression and then the in-between life space, and then obviously the soul contracts, soul family members, as I mentioned before. In these sessions, is it true that we actually choose what period we're going to incarnate into a certain period?
I honestly can't say that for sure, because the work that I do is for people to feel better now in this life. Yes, we go back to past lives to help them understand now as well. But when we go in between, they're asking about now. So the answers that they get in my sessions are for now. So whether they chose to come into this time zone or there's another era, I should say, I'm not sure, because always I'm dealing with this life, or predominantly everything's leading back to what's going on now and why.
The whole purpose of regression therapy, as described in Many Lives, Many Masters, was there was a female patient that had some kind of an issue. And in this case, the practitioner was just trying to find the cause and the origin of the problem, correct?
Yes. She had
That was the premise.
Symptoms.
She had many symptoms, but what he did not count on being taken back to a life that took place, what was it, 3,000 years ago?
Yes.
That's how he discovered it.
What does happen, Johnny, though, in regression is they don't go linear. Let's say someone's dealing with, let's say, anxiety for just pulling something out of the air. They might go back to a caveman time. And then if they go to another life, it might be in the 60s. So there's no linear time when they're recalling them either. They go to where there's something that's happened that makes sense of what's going on now. It's very cool.
It almost sounds like a science fiction movie. And also, speaking of movies, I've heard many, many times, again, from practitioners and experiencers, that planning of the next incarnation amongst several soul family members, I imagine, it's like casting a play or a movie.
Yes.
Is that your experience or that of your clients?
Yes, it is like casting a film. It really is. And also something I've discovered from all 20 years of working with this is everything is destined. Everything is planned. Every little detail. I think people get annoyed about it and they're like, oh, you know, it's allowing sidestepping and not taking responsibility. But actually what it does is it helps you become at ease with everything that happens and be more at peace, especially when obviously we're really only concerned when terrible things happen or things that make us feel bad. You get into this more philosophical mindset of, oh, well, it was meant to be, so why? And start looking for why instead of feeling so victimized by our lives and our circumstances. It's extraordinary. And I think this is something also that people discover when they do regression or go beyond, that life is planned and we're to be with certain people or certain souls.
Everything happens for a reason.
Everything does happen for a reason. Yeah. And
often incredible.
It's not until hindsight that people are able to fathom, oh, I get why that happened. And then, of course, in the moment, it's also not beneficial to tell someone that in the moment when they're going through something, because they have to reach that understanding themselves. Otherwise, you're poking a bee, if you like. But yeah, it all turns out.
That means that they are on their path.
Yeah.
And to interrupt them on their path, you're not really doing the good that you think that you might be doing.
Yes, that's right.
Am I right?
Yes.
Heard that quite a bit. I think it's amazing that no matter who I talk to who has real credible experience in this space, in the LBL space, the accounts, the details are a little bit different, but the structure and the hierarchy, the way how things happen is almost identical.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm in a rush to get there, but I don't know. It seems like it's a lot of fun to me.
Ooh, Johnny, that means if you have not done an LBL yourself, we must do one.
Uh-oh. That might be a discussion for another day. But yeah, I get that. You're not the first person to bring that up. When I do the interviews, someone will say, a guest speaker will say, "So Johnny, when are you going to do this?" And I invariably will respond, "Oh, I'm going to get around to it at some point." I don't want to make this about me. It's about the speaker, but that's a fair point. So before I forget, well, I did bring up the fact that you did write your book, Awake, The Purpose of Life and Why You Are Here. Tell us a little bit about that. I would imagine this work had a lot to do with inspiring that work.
It did.
That book, rather.
It did, because as I started to do this work, it was a culmination at the same time I became so aware of my own stuff. And the two of these things together, working with people and also becoming really aware or self-aware of myself, made me realize that absolutely everything in life was quite simple, really, and that one person's life is easy to outline as to why we have these parents, why did we go to that school, why did we go to 20 schools. Just every little detail has a purpose. This is what I tried to do when I wrote The Purpose of Life and Why You're Here, was to just outline the simplicities in life that are fundamental to an individual's life and how it plays out. So that was what I tried to portray, because also I felt that people have this idea that the purpose of life is something different to what it is. It's very simple, really. The purpose of life is every moment of every day. That's what I tried to portray in that book. I did some things, as in I met somebody towards the end of my marriage. People didn't talk about these things that happen, but when you work in therapy with people, it's happening all the time. And we're quiet about relationships and relating to people, which is a massive part of the purpose of life, and judging it from a moral perspective. But really, it doesn't matter, because all it does is make people hide what they're doing. It's still all going on because we're here having these experiences and we're meant to encounter this person or that person. So I tried to be very honest with what I had done and what I had experienced. I'll umbrella it with love at first sight, which is this irresistible pull when you come across somebody in your path. But this happens not just for love, it happens for all sorts of things. So the book was generally about, I'm going to call myself, an everyday life and how it transpires. Of course, everyone doesn't get into past lives, but still.
A simple answer to what is the purpose of life, why are we here? It's pretty much just to learn, because as you just mentioned before, everything has a purpose, every event. And I believe it's for all of us to learn, not just me, the soul group, even all the bad stuff.
I feel like when I first started, it was very, we're here to learn. What are we learning this time? But what I also discovered was it was less about learning in terms of we're paying back, or we didn't learn it last time, we're going to learn it next time. I found that that's not really how it works, and that it was easier to call it, we're here for an experience. I think people also get wound up in, have I learned what I was supposed to? We all do. The thing's mapped out, and we're going to have our experiences and we will learn. Everybody learns through life. We grow, we evolve. It's a cycle of life. But I feel like when we're learning, people get this idea that they could fail, but they can't fail. We're all going to go through our process just as it was planned or pre-planned, pre-outlined, and it will turn out that we experience exactly what we were meant to.
By saying that everything is planned, there are several people, well, probably millions, that really have a problem with that, especially when bad things happen.
Yes.
Right. But you're saying, and not just you, by the way, that bad things happen, some of them are actually planned. Even like the horrible things, because yeah, we are apparently supposed to learn from them. So self-awareness in your work is very important. I believe you're quoted as saying self-awareness is the ultimate activism.
Yes. Yes. Self-awareness, I feel, is the way that we can change the world, because if we can be aware of ourselves and what we're doing and what affects us, we then become naturally tolerant of other people who maybe aren't aware of what they're doing or why. So somehow, and you know, the result of self-awareness really is calmness. The calmness, it's peace, I suppose. But this calmness that where you don't feel like you need to get all involved in what's going on with other people or even within the world. Because if you take care of yourself and what you're putting out there, it ripple effects out and good keeps happening, or people are growing from their experiences and not getting so involved in outwardly not looking at themselves, which is what I feel activism is. It's like, whoa, you probably need to sort your own stuff out first before dictating to other people what's
before
right or wrong.
Before judging someone else.
Yeah. Right.
Do you feel that knowing what you know now, that everything is planned, it's for a purpose for us to learn, evolve, obviously, is it a waste of time and energy to judge anyone, where it's actually easier to make the choice that they are exactly where they need to be, like everybody, and it's a waste of time for me to judge them, so I'm not going to interfere. I'm just going to say they are where they are, whether I like them or not, whether they irritate me or not. You agree?
Yes, yes, I do agree. But I think we are still people here, and judgment is also part of the human experience, and we do need it to some extent to survive as a person, because we need to be discerning. But I think judging people, it's probably, no matter how self-aware you get, I think there's always still going to be at least a little bit of judgment, because people are so different to ourselves, and it can be confronting. I guess what would happen is it's for less time, and you always come back to, well, they're doing their thing, and they are. So don't get yourself all worked up about it.
You're right. Discernment is absolutely necessary. You're right.
Yeah.
Right. But when I say judging someone in a negative way without knowing anything about this person, to me, that's just a waste of energy, really.
I feel like that is a waste of energy. I do think that is the piece that you could come to where, why would you? Yeah. And I guess that's kind of nasty judgment, isn't it? It happens quite a bit. But certainly once the awareness kicks in, that all just filters away.
That reminds me of something else, because you also talk about Gen Z as being different.
Yeah.
Tell us what that means for us, and because that's relevant to this time period right now.
Yes, it is. So this is also part of the work that I did is I developed a part of the self-awareness work is I developed a platform based on numerology. I call it Life Map. Because of that, what I know is the energy of the numbers from our birth date, of course it goes deeper, but based on just the birth date, it determines what our character and our personality is going to be. And it determines the parts of ourselves that we cannot change. We could try, but we cannot change who we are inherently at the core. What happens with the Gen Z is it starts in, I think, the mid-90s, but actually when it really changes is in 2000, because from the year 2000, every single individual who was born gets two energy in their character, in their personality, and they don't all have a 1 or a 9, which we all had because we were born in 19 whatever. So 9 energy is thinking, so ideas. 1 energy is practical, it's doing. Whereas 2 energy is the heart and the feeling and the intuition. So what happens when you get these kids, or they're 23 now actually, but we got these kids starting to be born, they all have that 2, the energy of that 2 within their psyche inherently. So what that does is it comes with natural empathy and something they can't avoid. Some of them didn't even get 1 or 9 or the other practical or thinking energy. So what it means is they default to intuition, not logic. And because of that, they are more easily able to read what's going on, probably even if they're in a bad situation. They're more likely to be able to come to the realization of, why is that person doing that, or why are they like that? Why is this happening? So that's the main difference. They're sensitive. They're all sensitive. And if you can imagine across humanity, no matter their culture, they all come with this inherent kindness or sensitivity. So that's why they're different.
I noticed that there's a difference between the Gen Z kids and the millennials that came before them. I thought it was just my imagination, apparently not.
No.
Interesting stuff. And you also mentioned intuition and heart. Heart technology, heart-centered, these are all just terms that have been coming up a lot. And one woman told me recently that type of thing is a marker of a different dimension, higher consciousness. Do you agree, or is that something completely different?
I do think it would be associated with higher consciousness. But if I were talking about higher consciousness, I would talk about us as a soul. Because when we're just a soul, we're everything. We just don't have these human thoughts or characteristics. So we are very pure. And I think that the heart, as far as being a human, the heart center of us or our intuition is the closest that we get within our jumbled up humanness that is part of that consciousness. Yes.
So could that possibly be a marker of the 5D that a lot of these intuitives are talking about these days?
I have to be honest and say I've heard people talk about 5D, but I don't know what it is. I've never studied it or even really read about it. But what I know is from the work that I've been doing is as humanity is evolving, and what it's doing is evolving back almost to when we began in some ways, because we were much more intuitive and they're watching what the moon was doing and the stars and these kinds of things, but much more intuitive. So we're evolving back to that more connected people. And I think we've had our explosion of corporates and all that. And it's slowly, well, actually probably pretty fast in the last little while, coming down and bringing us back to a sort of more connected humanity. So it's changing. And I do feel that humanity is an experiment that we're all part of. With each generation, it evolves some more, exactly as it's meant to. So everything that's happened through the course of humanity has meant to happen. Yeah.
So it could be that we are returning to a time or a place in our consciousness where we were more intuitive and we're more heart-centered, maybe even more towards a group consciousness rather than a zero-sum type thing where it's always me against you and there's got to be a loser
yes.
for every winner. Speaking of which, have you had experience in your sessions where one of your clients was taken back to an ancient time where maybe the civilizations were more advanced consciousness-wise?
When
has that ever happened?
Yes, it happens all the time. The most simple thing to say is Earth is not the only place that we incarnate. So yes, people go to other places, and they're all, I guess, places of experimentation or experiences for the soul to have. But I notice with any other place that people go, it's always more energetic. And I'm going to say easier than Earth. Earth is the hard one. The other places are much more, I'm just going to say energetic and different. Nice, even. Yeah.
I agree. I've heard that quite a bit. I don't want to call them stories because that makes it sound like fiction.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that a lot more about people incarnating from other worlds, other systems. And I know that there's that part of the population that will always kind of roll their eyeballs and smirk when people talk about Pleiadians and all these other far out places, which I know nothing about, but I hear it a lot. You probably hear it a lot more than I do. Pretty interesting stuff. And I've heard, speaking of which, that Earth is a primitive, I heard this last week, a primitive and warlike planet. That's how we're looked upon.
Yeah. It's very, very dense and very hands-on, literally, because we don't have any of this touch, taste, sound, nothing like that. Unless we're here in this body. But Johnny, you know what? On the other places that people go, what's really exciting about this work is people come along not knowing anything about other places. They're so mainstream, and still sometimes they'll go off somewhere and they come back like, what the was that? But it's happened. They felt it. They saw it. And it's so reassuring.
Amazing.
Because they're as shocked as anyone else, and most likely were an eye roller before, you know, if they'd even heard of it at all.
I was one of those people.
Right.
Not really that long ago. I was always interested in past lives and near-death experiences and that type of thing. And I never had a doubt about the survival of consciousness, even when I was a young kid. But when people start talking about ETs and different planets and Pleiadians, I wouldn't roll my eyeballs, but I would think, seriously? Okay. I'm as skeptical as many people because I have to think, what's their motive? What would incentivize someone to make that up? Are they selling something? Is it a book? Is it a show? Is it a movie? I don't know. But the more and more I dive into this, I hear about this stuff a lot. My question is always going to be, okay, for once and for all, would one of these beings come down in a ship or whatever and just put all this to rest so we can get on with our lives? And according to someone that's going to be on the show in I think in about a month, he's saying there is going to be a new cosmic master that's going to come down here. Right. And I said, is it going to be next week? I don't know, Johnny. And I said, great. Can you get him to interfere in the next election? I had to bring that up. He had no idea. He got a laugh out of it. But anyway, speaking of missions and so forth, you have a mission to change the face of psychology.
Yeah.
And you also believe that soul life coaching is the next step in the evolution of past life regression. So did the mission or the goal to change the face of psychology create soul life coaching, or did the soul life coaching come first?
Well, it all started as past life regression. As I mentioned, I was on my own sort of self-awareness path. So it all ended up sort of coming together. Past life regression quickly turned into between lives, or there were stages where people were going elsewhere. And then, of course, beyond, which I call it home. I think that a lot of people who've had any of these experiences call it home. But what happened with it was I was very conscious that you're still here as a person, and we're living life and we're having relationships, and we have to survive here and we have to make the most of it. Life is fun. There's some good stuff we can do here that we can't do when we're not in our body. So I felt like if we can bring the both together, we can make this life better and good and hopefully a lot more fearless, making the most of it while we're here. Because the truth is, we're all leaving here. We know there's always been birth and death. So we're all going through, it's like, make the most of it while you're here, if it's at all possible. So I feel like this type of coaching or this type of psychology is so positive for people to get them back to a place where they can really live better, live well, feel good about themselves. So that's what the whole mission turned into.
Yeah. Okay. Do you feel that this work, especially the LBL space, does that have anything to do with the expansion of consciousness, which we're not the only ones talking about that, obviously. Mm. Is there a connection there or not really? You tell me.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. Mm. When a person goes in between or beyond or even into a past life, there is without a doubt, whether they question or not, healthy skeptic, it happens, and they know that they didn't make it up. The emotion comes with it. So across the board, they are immediately more conscious and knowing that there's so much more than just life and us here, our body. So it's super awakening, I suppose, or beneficial.
To answer my other question, how this can change psychology, it seems to be that this type of work can not only expand consciousness for all of us, hopefully, but it can also get to the heart of an issue a lot quicker than conventional, what do you call it, couch therapy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Probably a lot less expensive as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, with me, it's an investment, but with solo coaches. It's the most amazing experience. It gets to the core of the issues fast, and it helps people make sense of their lives and what's going on and why. That's the key. Soul Life Coaching is going to help you understand why. And maybe one other thing I'd love to just say real quick is every single one of us comes here with insecurity. It's part of our mission, part of the purpose of life. And when you understand what yours is and potentially the ones that others have, there's not that many, everything just seems to open up and make sense as to why we react the way we do, why we behave the way we do. Some things we can't change, some we can, and it helps our problems or challenges that we face make sense and dissolve, I suppose, help us heal and move through.
Agree. Yeah, that makes total sense to me. Yeah. Anything else that we should know?
Ooh, well, my favorite thing is to believe in yourself. Do the self-work. It's magical. You can't turn back after that.
Yeah. No turning back.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm going to quit there. I don't think I can top that. Great. So, Tony, thanks so much for joining us today, this morning. Excellent information. How can our listeners find you online?
Johnny, they can find me on my website. I'm on all social media, but my website is TonyRileyInstitute.com.
Okay, I will put that in the show notes and the transcript as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. You can also leave us a review on iTunes as well. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.